Yeah, I want to speak, as most of you probably already know, on the subject of prayer. Before I start, I want to just make a few things clear. First of all, I am no expert on prayer, first of all, definitely not. And I haven't got every aspect of prayer sorted out in my life, not by any stretch of imagination, not at all. So don't be thinking I'm coming here as one greater than you or something like that. Definitely not. I'm learning as well. And tonight I just want to share some things that God has been teaching me over the last few months, really, about prayer. Prayer is one of those things that, to be honest, it's one of those things that is so simple yet so difficult. God has made it so simple for us to pray, yet for me personally, I find it sometimes one of the hardest things to do for some reason. It's one of those mysterious things. But what is it? I want to just think, first of all, just for a few minutes, what it is that makes us reluctant to pray. What are the things that make us reluctant to pray? Sometimes when I think of prayer, I think of stuffy prayer meetings. I'm not sure if you know what I mean, but you know, prayer meetings that are, you know, you go to prayer meetings, it's the same prayers, people praying over and over again, exactly the same prayers, and you're just sitting there, and you just, it's so warm, and you're just sort of dozing and sleeping, and then next thing you hear, you're closing prayer, and you think, oh great, I'm awake again, and you get out of it. Or, for me, sometimes I think prayer is a chore, and rather than a joy to do. Or maybe sometimes I feel that I'm too busy, I haven't got time to pray. Which is actually really stupid, but that's sometimes what I feel. But sometimes then I settle myself to pray, and I sort of think, oh, no, I need to settle myself to pray here, okay. And you settle yourself for every 10 minutes, sort of settle yourself 10 minutes, and you pray something. But then prayer is sort of becoming legalistic then. And I'm only praying just because I know I should pray, and because I want my conscience to be clear, and I want to feel okay the rest of the day, knowing, okay, well, I've took me 10 minutes and I've prayed this morning. And that's what prayer can become. Maybe you're looking to pray because you think God hasn't answered your prayers in the past. Maybe you've been praying about something for so long and you think, well, I can't be bothered praying for that anymore because God hasn't answered, and maybe he's just not going to answer. Or maybe you feel you can't go to God with, sometimes we feel we can't go to God with small prayers. I think, it's too petty. I'm not going to bother God with that prayer. It's too petty. I can't honestly think that I can pray to God about something so simple and so ordinary. I should be praying to him about, you know, these big issues. People need saved. You know, I should be praying about my physical, my spiritual growth. And I should be praying about all these holy things. And we don't think we can come to God with the ordinary things. Or if you're like me, maybe you just forget. And you're so caught up with things during the day, or things in the morning, or you're sleeping in the morning like I do pretty much every morning, because I hate getting up in the morning. Bed is great in the morning. I love it. So good. So I just love lying on as long as I can. And then you get up, and then you're racing about trying to get everything done, and you forget to wash your teeth, and you forget to pray. And I know, wash my teeth before I come out tonight. I hadn't washed them all day. That's just a wee confession. That was just because I forgot, and I was so panicking about this. But anyway, they're washed and clean now. Well, they're washed anyway. So different things make us reluctant to pray. But let's think for a few minutes about what prayer really is. What is prayer? If you turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. I'll take a wee drink out of my crystal glass here. So Jeremiah chapter 33, I'm just going to read one verse, which I think explains prayer, and it's verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. Prayer is two-way communication. It's not just one-way communication. It's not us just praying to God or speaking to God, but it's us then allowing God to speak back to us. I was somewhere, I'm not going to say where I was because the story will keep, there's probably somebody related to the person I'm going to talk about, so I'm not going to give names or anything. I was somewhere, and I met this girl, hadn't known her for too long, and she was married and all, but she decided she would come and just chat to me, and I thought, okay, it's nice and friendly, and she talked to me, and then she went into a story about something, and no joke, an hour and a half later, she was finishing the story, no joke, Jane actually came up and wondered where I was, because I hadn't appeared for an hour and a half, and my ear was so sore. Oh, it was so bad. She just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And I'm not saying that's anything to do with the fact that she was a female. Probably not. But anyway, I know she didn't know. Honest, it was just like, and I was trying to be interested. You're trying to be interested, and you can only be interested for so long. Like an hour into it, I broke then, and I was like, and I actually was sitting in the seat going, like this, trying to keep my eyes awake. And I felt so conscious of it. And it was one-way traffic the whole time, one-way traffic. And that's sometimes what I think what prayer can be like for us sometimes. We can pray to God. We can ask Him about all these things. We can tell Him about all these difficult times we're going through. Ask Him for guidance, ask Him for direction. But then we don't listen for His reply. Or maybe we do listen for His reply, but we're actually just waiting for Him to agree with what we were praying about. So we're asking for something. We're asking for His guidance on something. Yet in the back of our mind, we have an idea of what we want Him to say. And really what we're waiting for is Him just to confirm what we have sort of thought in our mind. And we're not actually open to listening to what God wants. It's more just to clarify what we want and to agree with what we want so we can feel good about what we're doing. Listening is such an important thing to do in prayer. Prayer is not just us speaking to God. Prayer is listening to God, listening to what He has to say to us, listening to any correction that He has to give to us, listening for feedback. Whenever I started thinking about this idea of prayer, I started thinking back, I wonder when the first prayer was uttered. Where did prayer start? And I went back to the Garden of Eden, because in the Garden of Eden we're told that Adam and Eve communed with God, or Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the garden, and they had perfect communication. And I think that's where prayer really started. God communed with them, they communed with God, they walked with them in the garden, they walked with God in the garden. It was perfect, two-way communication. But then we know how it all went wrong. And how Adam and Eve then ruined that communication they had with God. But I want us to look now at who it is we're praying to. And that might seem a bit of a simple thing to say, a bit of a strange thing to say, a bit, just a bit obvious really. But I think this is something that I know I have got wrong in the past, and I think this is something that if we can get right, then this could be the key to us enjoying prayer rather than enduring prayer. Because for me, sometimes prayer is a chore. But maybe I forget who it is I'm speaking to. If you turn over to Matthew 6, one of the most famous prayers. This is where Jesus is giving us an example of prayer. So it's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. And I'm not going to read down through all of this now, but I want to read the first few lines of it. So Matthew 6 and verse 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. And I want to stop at that point. Because immediately the Lord Jesus is addressing who it is that He is actually praying to. Our Father, who art in heaven. I think if we get this right, then our prayer life will change. That's how strong I feel about it. And that's how what God has been teaching me lately. I need to get this right. Would you rather, if I said, go and have a big long conversation with your old schoolmaster your own school principal or something like that, or go and have a conversation with your father, your dad, or a close friend. Which would you rather go and speak to? Well, I don't know what your relationship is with your ex-headmaster and all this, but for me personally, probably my dad or a friend. I'd prefer to speak to them. I prefer to speak to my dad because I know I could be totally honest with him. I would feel totally comfortable with him because I know him and he knows me. And it would just be so much more natural just to speak to him. I wouldn't have this whole awkwardness, you know, sitting trying to think of what to say next. So, how was your day? Something weird? Then you come out with something silly. It wouldn't be awkward, it'd be comfortable. And I think I'd be more ready to take advice from him because I would know, if it was my dad, that he is my best interest definitely at heart. I would know that my dad loves me, that loves me unconditionally, and that he wants what's best for me. And sometimes when we come, and I'm speaking to myself here, sometimes when I have come, and maybe it's the same for you, to prayer, and I have to be careful how I say it, but sometimes we just see God as being this holy entity that we are coming to and praying to and bowing before. Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. God is a holy God. He is a perfect God. He is a sovereign God. He has created everything. He is an amazing God, and he deserves our respect. He deserves our honor. But sometimes I think we get too caught up just with that and forget that he's actually a father. Now, some people go as far as to say that God is, sometimes they call God like a dad. I personally don't feel totally comfortable with that. But I can see some good things about it in a way. And let me explain it. I can see the good side of it in that we can just see God as someone who just wants to help us like your dad would want to help you. Someone who is not there just to judge you and to pick out all the wrong things you do, but someone who is there to encourage you, someone who is there to pick you up when you fall, someone who is there to protect you when you need protection. He's not just this holy entity that's far away, that's distant. He's close. He's as close as a father, as a dad. He's just as close. You see, if we can see God as a father, yes, he's a holy God. And just like you, when you're speaking to your father, he demands respect. You would speak to your father respectfully. You would give him the honor that he deserves. But you would trust your dad. You would take his advice. You would know that he loves you. And we need to come to God like that as well. Don't think God is a judge waiting for us to do something wrong and then send the big lightning bolt and strike us down. That is not what we need to see God as. God is a loving, caring God, a sacrificial God who sacrificed his own son so that we could have the best life of all, life with him. Amazing. That blows me away. And yet, this is the God who is in control of everything. This is the God who knows about all the so-called big disasters in the world. This is the God who knows about every single little ripple and every puddle on the road. He knows about every single wave in the sea. He knows exactly when it's going to crash. He plans when exactly it's going to crash. And yet, he is still a God who is so close to me that he hears even my weakest, faintest whisperings. In fact, I don't even have to whisper. He hears just the mutterings of my heart. He is so close. That's amazing that we have such power available to us as Christians. Wow, God is amazing. Let's see him as a father figure. In the Gospels, the Lord Jesus refers to God as Father or Abba. I think it's, well, I hadn't had time to check this, but from my research I'm told he refers to God as Father 60 times in the four Gospels. 60 times. And something that is really striking in one of the Lord's prayers is his honesty. You see, sometimes when I pray, if I've done something wrong, sometimes I feel almost that I can't say it to God. Almost like, you know, oh, I can't tell God about that one. No way, I can't. I just can't. I haven't got the strength just to say openly about that sin that I did. I just feel so bad. Prayer isn't coming to God and telling Him something that He doesn't already know. God knows it all before we pray to Him. God wants us just to be totally honest. Totally honest. And one of the other, it's a really difficult prayer actually that the Lord prayed in Gethsemane. Over in Matthew chapter 26. I'm not going to go into explaining all about this prayer, because some parts of it are really difficult to understand, I think. But look what he says here. And he went a little further. So Jesus went a little further. So he's went now to pray. He's left three of his disciples a bit behind. He said, "You stay here, I'm going on to pray." And he says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." This was Jesus who was soon to be crucified, and he knew that. And he says here, "Let this cup pass from me." He didn't say, "Oh, I don't want to pray that now to God. I don't want to pray that to, that I want this cup, there's a cup of affliction that's to pass away from me." That'd be wrong. I think in this verse we can totally see Jesus' humanity. His humanity is so evident here. The natural body was nervous about what was coming up. We read later on how Jesus sweated drops of blood. You know, his body was under so much extreme pressure. Apparently that's a medical condition. I don't know if there's any doctors or nurses or whatever here, but apparently that is a medical condition that very, very, very few people suffer from, where they actually sweat blood. When your body is under so much intense pressure that you actually sweat blood. Jesus was absolutely and totally honest with God here. He just said what he was thinking. And I think we need to be totally honest with God. Don't think there's anything that God doesn't already know about you. He just wants you to come. If you have a sin, He wants you to confess it. If you have a trouble, He wants you to come and ask Him about it. Ask Him for your help. I think there's going to be a problem with God as being the father figure. I've said I think we really need to see Him as being a father figure. We want to see Him as being someone who cares. But I think for some people that's going to be a real problem. I think it's going to be a problem for the child who has been sexually abused by their earthly father. I think it's going to be hard for the child who has a father who is abusive to his wife in front of them. I think it's going to be hard for the child who has a father who works all the time and doesn't seem to have any time for them. The father who doesn't seem to show any love to them. It's going to be difficult for the child who has a father who lets them do whatever they want. Because as children, they will, if you tell a child that God is your heavenly father, they'll just automatically think of their earthly father figure and what he is like. Well, then that's what God must be like. And I think Satan is so cunning. He is so, so cunning. Because you can see in the news, you hear so much of this on the news, where children are being abused by their own fathers, where families are being broken up by unfaithful mothers or fathers. The devil is trying to take the father figure out of a home. Because if he can do that, then he leaves children, he leaves young people, he leaves anyone not knowing what a father figure is supposed to be. Oh, God's supposed to be my father? Oh, well, then he'd probably just leave me like my dad did. God will abuse me like my dad did. And I think the devil has been so cunning in doing this. I'm not a father. But when I was reading this, I was thinking, if I ever am a dad, this puts huge responsibility on me. It really does. Because if I have children, my children are going to look at me and think, well, this is actually what a father is. I have a responsibility to be a God-like figure in my home to my children. Otherwise, my children are going to have a distorted figure of what God is like. And that's basically the long and short of it. Satan is cunning. I think instead of people will naturally just look at their natural father and think that's what God's going to be like. But God, I think, tells us, don't look at your natural father. Look at me, and then you'll see what your earthly father should be like. But sadly, some people probably won't do that. So let's remember that God is a close father who wants to help us. Not just an eternal, far away entity. Not just somebody who's distant from us. He's someone who's close to us. He's someone who lives in us. His spirit lives in us if we're Christians. Have you ever thought of that? God in me right now as I'm standing here. That God's spirit is actually living inside me, in me. That is amazing when you think of the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit has. That is amazing. Something else I want to look at is, when should we pray? And this is probably a big debated thing. When should we pray? This used to really confuse me. And one verse in particular used to really confuse me. And it's in 1 Thessalonians. And you can turn it if you want to. I can just read it. That's the 1 Thessalonians. Very, very simple verse, but totally baffled me until recently. Three words in it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. I used to think, how could you pray without ceasing? It's like praying non-stop all the time, praying constantly. Does that mean I'm going to... Does that mean I have to always like be in a prayer meeting? Or and I used to think, this is making prayer sound like such a monotonous thing and I'm going to dread doing all the time. Pray without ceasing. Oh, goodness me. Oh, dear. But recently God has started to show me something so much differently, and that's so much different. Whenever you have a friend, if you have a friend, you don't sort of save up all your conversation until the end. Say if you're hanging out with one of your friends during the day, you don't sort of put yourself on mute until the end of the day when you're sort of leaving them. And then next thing you burst into conversation and start rattling off all the things that you have to say to them. Well, maybe you do. I don't know. But personally, I would find it a bit weird if my friends done that. You know, just walked about on mute all day and then started just bursting everything out at me at the end of the day. We don't do that. We talk to them during the day. Whenever you think about something to say to them, if you think, you know, you like their outfit or something, you tell them you like their outfit there and then. If you tell them, if you think, you know, it's a question you have for them, you ask them the question there and then. You just talk. You converse with them. It's a conversation. It's communication with them. You listen to them. Talk to them. They listen to you. And it's constant. I'm not saying that when we parallel prayer this, I'm not saying that that means you just do away with your quiet time and you don't have any time where you get alone with God and you get quiet with God and you commune with Him. What I'm saying is we should also just be talking to God during the day. This is why I was trying to stress the fact that we should see God just as, you know, as a father figure as well as being, you know, a holy God. Because He just wants us to talk with Him. Simple. Just talk with Him when you're out with your mates. You know, when you're wherever you are, when you're with your mates, when you're at work, when you're in the shower, when you're on the plane, when you're in the car, wherever. Just talk to God. Talk to Him in your mind. You see something that's amazing, just thank God in your mind. You see something in creation that's amazing, just thanks God. Sometimes I'll be going somewhere and I'll think, oh, I didn't pray for that person. I told them I was going to pray for them. Previously, I would have said, right, you remember any praying for them tonight? You remember that? And my head's like a sieve, a really bad sieve, with like big holes in it, and nothing stays in it. So at the time I come to the night, even if I did do a quiet time, I still wouldn't have remembered about them. Why put it off till then? Why not just pray from there and then? Just, and sometimes we think that our prayers have to be big, long sentences, fully formed sentences, because that's the only thing God listens to, and you have to use certain words, and you just have to use maybe the language that the Bible uses, and use only the language that the Bible uses, and otherwise God won't hear us. But that's totally wrong, because those are the types of things that make us think prayer is so boring.
The prayer is like, oh, I can't do that.
Just talk to God in your own language. Just say what's in your heart. It's your heart that he sees anyway. So just say what's in your heart. It doesn't really matter how you say it. As long as you're saying it respectfully, as long as you have a respect for God, as long as you come to him humbly, just talk to him. Pray as things come into your mind. Just talk to him. He's there. That's why the Lord Jesus, that's one of the advantages of the Lord Jesus having come to earth. He tore away. The veil was torn in two. We have direct access now through Christ to God. We can just talk to him wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And the more we do that, the more we build up this relationship with God as a friend. And then it won't be so bad coming at, you know, at 10 o'clock at night when you're about to go to bed. Oh, just to pray us, right? Now, what was all the things I had to pray for? Okay. Don't just leave it to God. Make it something that's real. Make it pray as if God is a friend. I think if we understand who God is, that he is our Heavenly Father, he's the one who loves us, he's the one who cares for us, he wants to hear us pray, he wants to help us, he is interested in every single small detail of our lives, someone who hears and answers our prayers, someone who hears and answers our one-liner prayers as much as he hears the big, well-formed, sentenced prayers, then maybe we will believe that praying is actually something we want to do, and something we want to do without ceasing. We just want to talk to God because he wants to hear us and we need him. Let's just talk to him. But how can we pray? How can we pray then? There's in the Lord's Prayer, what's known as the Lord's Prayer, there's something that's really stood out to me whenever I looked at this, and it never really did before. But before we turn to it, go to 1 John chapter 5. Again, I'm kind of talking about things that really baffled me and how God is kind of starting to show me what exactly they mean. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15 baffled me before. Verse 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Ask anything according to his will. What does that mean? What does it mean to know the will of God? Well, there's actually no point in praying unless it is God's will. It's actually a waste of time, and I'll explain that. If you're a Christian, there's no point praying for your relationship with your non-Christian partner, because God said that's not his will. His will is not for us to be unequally yoked. There's no point praying for God to bless your business if you're in a business. If you're like these corrupt dealings are going on and you're being a bit crooked and you're maybe not, you know, declaring everyone to the tax man, no. That God won't bless that business. Point blank, won't bless it. Why would he bless that if it's not in his will? There's no point praying that God will help you in an exam and you like got all the answers right up your arm, or you think the answers are. There's no point. God will maybe give you a really bad fit of sweat or something, and the sweat washes it off. I don't know. It never happened to me, honest. There's no point. There's no point praying unless we know what God's will is. How do we know what God's will is? He's given us it so simply in the Bible. This is the main source of knowing what God's will is. The Bible tells us, as we read the Bible, we think, okay, God's will, it's God's will that we love everyone. Okay, God, help me to love people. It's God's will that, you know, I'm not to be unequally yoked. Okay, God, help me to get somebody in my life that is a Christian who loves you as well. It's God's will for me to be honest, therefore help me not to be dishonest in the business. It's God's will for me to be faithful to my wife. God, help me to be faithful to my wife. Help me help our marriage. Bless our marriage. Surround it. Protect it. God's will, and this is so important because the Lord Jesus prays it as well in his prayer, and the Lord's prayer that he gives us, it talks about how we're to pray in God's will. Jesus prayed this, and he taught it in his prayer. And I think it's one of the most difficult things to do. I really do. I think it's difficult to understand, and I think it's difficult to do. It's difficult to pray this if you're going through a really tough time. If you're praying, Lord, I'm really struggling, I'm really confused, I'm really hurting, I'm sick, I'm dying, I'm so lonely, and it hurts so bad. It hurts so much, I just can't take any more of it, Lord. I just can't take any more. But your will be done. Your will be done. Praying that, knowing that God could still keep you in that situation for whatever length of time it is. And it's hard to imagine that unless you're in a situation that's like that now. Those people who are going through a really bad fit of depression, awful illness to have, awful illness to have. You're in a black hole, you think there's no way to get out of it. And you're praying, God, please heal me from this. But may your will be done. May your will be done. It takes so much faith and trust in God and our Heavenly Father to know that He knows what is best for us. He loves us with love that's unquenchable. It just can't be quenched. It takes faith to think about this and to know that He will only allow us to go through what He knows that we can bear. It takes faith to say, your will be done. Your will be done. But if we don't, then there's really not much point in praying, actually. Because what's not God's will won't be done. There's no real point in praying unless we pray that. Sometimes we pray for confirmation of what we think is best, which is sometimes what I do, and I shouldn't. You know, we pray as to whether we should, you know, maybe go to a certain uni or take a certain promotion in work or something like that. And then we sort of think in our minds, I'd like that promotion. I think that promotion would be really good. And if extra, a wee bit extra money, then we could buy that other house and we could buy that car and that would leave us really good. And I'm not saying, God, that, you know, we'd be really rich or anything, but we'd just be able to make ends meet and then we'd be able to give some more to our church or something. And you have this maybe thing in your head. And you think, well, we'll just pray about it just to make sure that's what God wants. Let's just pray about it. But if God comes back and says, you know, that's not my will for you to take that, go to that uni. I remember when I was going to, whenever I was applying for uni, I know, actually, went to university, I know you wouldn't know. Went to university and I applied to go to Jordanstown and I got this response back because my marks were so rubbish. They said, oh no, you can't get into Jordanstown, but we'll send you off to McGee. And I thought, oh, McGee in Londonderry? No. What on earth am I going to do there in McGee? I know nobody in McGee. It's a smaller university. It's like Londonderry, hello? Where is that? And I thought, no way. Please don't send me to McGee. I was praying to go to Jordanstown. Got a letter to go to McGee. I prayed about it. I asked if I could get a transfer to anywhere else. And God sent me to Korean Uni. Korean is the best university ever. No, that's beside the point. Right, Korean University. And God had His hand so perfectly in that because during my years at university, I grew most in those 4 years as a Christian than I've ever grown before. See, God knows what's best. I had an idea, going to Jordanstown to be the best. I'll maybe know a few people there. I'll be close to Belfast. It'll be handy to get the bus. God said, no, I want you to go to Korean. He had a perfect plan for me. He knows what's best. But it's so difficult when you're in a really difficult situation to say, Lord, I want out of this situation, but if it's your will to keep me in it, then I'll accept that. Keep me in it. So difficult. Because what we're actually doing is praying against our own will. Prayer sometimes is a battle of two wills. You've got God's will and our will. But as more we pray, we want to align those wills together. Because that's when we'll see real answer to prayer, what I think anyway. I'm finished, near enough. I just want to finish with one thing. And it's why we should pray. Kind of going through the whole what, where, why, how, when and all the rest of it. But why should we pray? Why bother praying? Why should we bother praying to God? You know, prayer is something that God didn't have to create. Whenever he, God could have, God didn't need to create us to give a way of communication, something to communicate with, someone to communicate with. Because we know that the Trinity was always there. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were always there in perfect union, in perfect communion with each other. So he didn't need us, but he created a world. He could have just created a world with us not in it and just admired the creation. He could have created a world and created us like animals that didn't have the ability to communicate with God. Could have created us like that. But God has given us this gift. He has, his grace has worked in our lives. He has given us an ability, the ability to communicate with him and him to communicate with us. He hasn't just left us like animals in this earth. He said, I'll put you in this earth, I'll care for you, and I'll keep in contact, I'll keep in communication with you. In Psalm 50, and I'm sort of jumping around, I know, with this, but in Psalm 50, the first reason that I think that we have prayer, Psalm chapter 50 and verse 15, Psalm 50 and the verse 15. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Okay, so we're praying here. The psalmist is praying. He's saying to pray to God. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee. Okay, so there's God. That's a two-way communication. God is reacting to the prayer. God is answering the prayer. God is communicating back. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. See, God actually is glorified by us allowing him to serve us. God serves us through prayer. By praying, we're saying to God, listen, I know that I totally trust you. I know that you're going to answer my prayer. We're showing that we need God. We're showing that we can't do it on our own. We're showing that we're worthless on our own. We're glorifying God by allowing him to serve us. Because we're showing him that he's totally trustworthy. We're showing him that we totally depend on him and we need him and we want him to come and help us. We're actually glorifying God. God actually delights in hearing our prayers. He delights in answering our prayers. He delights in helping us. And that's amazing. John 15, there's another reason. John chapter 15. So John 15 and verses 7 to 11. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Prayer actually gives us joy. How on earth does prayer give us joy? In order for us to have true joy, we need to know as much as we can about God. The more you know about God, the more I know about God, the more I realise what he's done for me, the more I realise how absolutely amazing, mind-blowing God is, the happier I am whenever I realise what he has saved me from. We have to experience God working in our lives. It's not enough just to know about God. It's not enough just to know everything about God. We have to actually experience him in our lives. We have to know more of this love that he's given to us. Know more of his love so we can be filled with love. So we can be filled with love rather than anger. So we can be filled with contentment rather than jealousy and covetousness. So we can be filled with humbleness and not pride. We need to know about God. We need to have fellowship with God in order to have true joy. And I believe in order to have fellowship, we need prayer. We can't have fellowship with God and think we'll just do it through reading the Bible and knowing all about him. And, that was really amazing there, what God did, and he is amazing. And then just go out, even telling friends about him. It's not enough even just to serve God. We can't have fellowship with God through serving Him, really. We need to know Him personally. We need to be communicating with Him as a friend. We need to have fellowship with Him. We need to pray. When we pray, we know more about God. Our fellowship with Him gets stronger, and the joy within us starts bubbling up a bit. And whenever the joy of the Lord starts bubbling up inside you, then it's going to spread out and people are going to see it. We can experience true joy through prayer. And prayer is one of those amazing things. God tells us in Psalm 116, He talks about how He teaches us how He just wants us to keep on praying. The psalmist in Psalm 116 talks about how, you know, he was going through a really, really tough time, a really, really difficult time. And he prayed to God, and God helped him. And then he asked, what can I do to God? What can I give back to Him for answering my prayer? And God just says, you know, the psalmist just says, I'll just call in the name of the Lord. I'll just pray more. See, God delights in hearing us prayer. That chapter in Psalm 116 is one of my favorite psalms. Because it talks about how God inclined His ear. God has His ear inclined. Right now, God has His ear inclined, waiting to hear our prayers. He's interested in you. He's interested in you personally. He's interested in me personally. He wants to know us personally. He wants us to pray personally. He wants us to commune with Him all day, every day. Just talking to Him as a father, trusting Him as a father, knowing that He's there. He wants to help us. God wants to help us. Pray about things as they come into your mind. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is a gift from God. We don't have to pray. We don't have to pray. But we get to pray. God allows us to pray. He gives us that gift. Just to talk to Him. So difficult at times. Yet so simple just to talk to God. We don't even have to open our mouths. Can He make it any more simple? Can He make it any more simple to pray? I don't think He can. All we have to do is almost think in our minds, and God hears us. And even when we can't even if we don't know exactly what to pray, He tells us that the Holy Spirit prays for us. Could He do any more for us? Remember that prayer, you're praying to your Heavenly Father, someone who cares for you. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. Just allow Him to work in your life, knowing that by doing it, by praying, we're actually obeying Him, and we're actually glorifying Him. Jesus prayed at that prayer at Gethsemane, and as I said, that was really it's a hard prayer to understand. But He prayed, and every time we read of Jesus praying, He prays, in His will, Your will be done. Difficult to understand, difficult to do, but I believe we need to do that. We need to pray, but in order for us to pray that, we need to have complete confidence that God will do the right thing for us. We need to know more about God in our lives. Get to know God, and I think our prayer life will actually enhance and will be better.